Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross here at Circus Sports in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, with our GM Michael Lombardi back on the East Coast. And Michael, I can't believe when I look at Circus Survivor here and I see you had 2 weeks, right? You had to play the Thanksgiving game, then you had to do the Sunday slate as well. I go back to Thanksgiving and, you know, I was trying to stay away from social media, be with the family all week. It's Thanksgiving. And then I saw the end of that Bears-Lions game. 17 people were on the Lions. And I still can't believe what I saw. So, Michael, you have 54 then. So that everybody survives on Thanksgiving Day. Chiefs, Lions, Cowboys, and Packers. Cowboys and Packers never a sweat. Chiefs and Lions, 46 people, Michael, easily could have been knocked out of this thing. Those endings in Kansas City and Detroit are stunning to me still.
Yeah, well, I think they owe a debt of gratitude to Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams really should take as much responsibility as anybody in this game. You know, what happened was, you've got to go back and start the scene, right? So they have a first and 10, and they have the ball at the Detroit 25, and they call their second timeout. He throws an incomplete pass, but they're forced to use a timeout there. Why? I don't know. Mm. So that's mistake number one. The clock was stopped.
Right.
But for some reason, he has to come back and use a timeout. On the second and 10 play, there's a penalty. Illegal use of hands. So that comes back. Remember, he throws for 12 yards. That comes back. Now it's second and 20, and he gets sacked for 6 yards, right? And at that point, now all of a sudden, he should have used his timeout.
Yes.
Because every time you get sacked in an NFL game, you should use your timeout. But he wasted a timeout right before, okay? But here's what really happened that was the biggest problem, and it's very clear on the tape when you watch the game. So they call a play to get 5 yards. What they wanted to do is call a play to get 5 yards, get that 5 yards, and then call a timeout, send their field goal unit on the field. But what happened was, is Caleb Williams, he signals to Rome Odunze to run a stop and go. Mm. And so he runs the stop and go, and it takes so long for him to run it. And remember, the clock's running from a sack.
Right.
So it, you know, by the time the players come back, you know, it takes too long. Then he signals, he's taking time in the huddle to signal. I mean, this is completely bad. I mean, Eberflus, I'm not absolving him from this. This is a disaster. Everybody knows the reason you save timeouts is because of sacks. But then it's compounded by that he tries to change the play and run a stop and go. And so they waste 36 seconds. I mean, every 6 seconds is a play. So when you have 36 seconds left and he gets sacked, you call timeout, all right? You call timeout. So now let's say there's 32 seconds. So you divide 6 into 32. That's how many plays you should get if you get the ball out of bounds. Mm. But it's no problem. So here was his issue. It was third down if he called timeout. So what he was probably thinking, I have to put my field goal, my desperation field goal team out there, because if I call this timeout, well, if you practice it, it's no big deal. Throw a stick route, right? You throw a stick route for 6 yards. Okay, fine. You get to the line of scrimmage, you get the kicking team back on, you get your guys back off, you kick the field goal, you go to overtime. I mean, that's why you practice it all the time. But clearly it wasn't within the cards. And so he deserves to lose his job. And Caleb deserves to take responsibility, because it's no awareness. You can't call a double move. We're not at SC. Like, you know, you can't call a double move and think you're going to win the game that way. But that's how Caleb's going to roll for a while. Somebody, they're going to need a strong coach to come in there and to really coach him up. Because if he thinks he knows what he's doing, he's really lost.
Thomas Brown's going to take over as the interim head coach, first time in over the 100-year history of the Bears that they fired a coach in season. So it was a Black Friday, certainly for Matt Eberflus and the Bears. Then, of course, we had Circus Survivor through yesterday's games, and we do have 11 entries tonight in Monday Night Football. Again, if you had the Bucs, 11 entries could have gone out there. Vikings, those two entries somehow survive as well. Rams are down. Colts win it on the last play, at least for the Colts offensively, where they go for two and get it. And the Texans held on to get that one. Michael, is there any danger tonight for those 11 entries? Of course, there's always danger, but Broncos, six-point favorites against, right, against the Browns. But I feel like you have to feel good if you're a Bronco backer.
Well, they're playing well, and they have a bye week next week, and so it's an important game. I mean, I think they saw the Chargers win. They know the Chiefs have won, and they have a chance. You know, they're still in this. They're in the playoff hunt, right? And so they know they have that opportunity, and so it's right in front of them. And look, we know this about the Browns. Even though they upset Pittsburgh last week, they have a hard time playing run defense. They have a hard time playing defense, period. So it's a big game for Denver. It's a home game. I'm sure it'll be a great scene. And Bo Nix is playing really well, but these are not easy. Look, you know, if the good Jameis shows up, Jameis is like False Face from Batman, right? You know, there's, you know, he can change costumes at any moment. And so the good Jameis shows up, he could play, throw for 377 like he did against Baltimore. The bad Jameis shows up, he could throw three interceptions. It depends on which False Face shows up.
Yeah, I think if you're a Browns backer taking those six, you hope it's the good version, because if not, it could get ugly. And Bo Nix is just, they're not turning it over. I don't know if they're asking him to do too much. And certainly last week against the Raiders could have been an easy cover the other way, but they do cover the number on the road last week. So that shows me a little something. They're starting to cover those numbers. So again, got to cover six tonight for Denver. But in Circus Survivor, they just have to win in order for those 11 entries to advance. We got a pretty good one next week in Arrowhead, and that gets us to our Game of the Week.
This is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week, presented by Lowe's. Here's Michael Lombardi.
Michael, I'm looking at this one with the Chargers going to Arrowhead, and it's now sitting at 3.5. This was 4.5, and initially that comes down right away to 3.5. So the Chargers taking some money, low-ish total here at 43. What do you make of that initial reaction to that line being set and the money coming in on the Bolts?
Well, I think, to me, look, the last time they played, you know, Justin Herbert wasn't healthy. Remember, he had that rib problem. Yes. And he couldn't really throw the ball. It was a 20-10 win by the Chiefs in Los Angeles, and the Chiefs really struggled to move the football. I think the Chargers are actually playing better defensively right now. And I think, to me, this will be a this can be another defensive struggle. But the Chargers offense right now, without J.K. Dobbins, who's on IR, they need Gus Edwards. They're going to have to run the football. And we saw last week that the Raiders decided to try to run the football against the Chiefs, and it worked. Mm-hmm. And it really worked out. And so you got to give, you know, there's some hope here. But, you know, the game's obviously, it's going to be a challenging game for the Chargers. They're not going to win this game counting on four interceptions from Patrick Mahomes like they did last week. So I think ultimately this is could be an under game play, because I don't think both teams are explosive. Chargers obviously are going to need to get some production from Quentin Johnson at wide receiver, and they're going to have to find a way to run the football. They gave up 5 sacks to Atlanta team that had 3 sacks going into the game.
I'm looking at this Charger team, and at 8-4, I don't know what's the biggest surprise, that the Chargers have figured out a way to win 8 games without really the semblance. And again, you mentioned it with Dobbins. You lose him. You got to turn back to Gus Edwards. That didn't look really good against the ATL. Or the bigger surprise is the Chiefs are 11-1, undefeated at home, 6-0. Patrick Mahomes has 19 touchdowns and 11 picks on the year. And it just looks like the offense is not clicking. Get Pacheco back. The underplays feels like the right side here, 43.5. I assume that number will come down. Looking into the weather, doesn't look too bad. 52 degrees right now in Arrowhead next week. That's the Sunday night game, so it will be cold. But yeah, I just look at this thing and I go, the Chargers are figuring out ways to win, and it's not pretty. But at the end of the year, they don't ask how, they just ask how many. And right now the Chiefs trying to hold on to that number one spot. So, Michael, that is the game of the week. Do you expect the number to come down as we're going to try to get that connection here with Michael? Because I have to think right now the total might be on the move here from 43.5 down to 43, because we're just not seeing explosive offenses. either way here. So, look, Chargers have built this team on defense. That's what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. They want to run the football. I don't know if they'll be able to run it effectively. And at some point, Justin Herbert might have to try to do this with his arm. And those young receiving core, I don't know if they're good enough against this Chiefs defense. Certainly don't want to get in a shootout. I think the Chiefs still have the better offense in this one. But right now, the number has come down from 4.5 down to 3.5, and 43.5 is that total. So, Michael, if we're being anticipatory of the line move, do you think it would be on the total that this comes down even lower than 43, or do you think it would be on the side hovering at 3.5 right now?
I think it's going to be – I can't think this is going to get below 3.5. I think it's going to stay right there. You know, I don't see it. Obviously, it moved when the Charger money came down. But for me, I think you've got to be really aware of this under and seeing how it goes, and certainly look at the injury report. The Chiefs are certainly going to have more rest. They should be healthier going into this game. But I think it's a defensive struggle, and we don't even know the weather yet. The weather could be a factor here. Remember, all these 50-yard field goals outside in the cold are a lot more difficult now, trying to kick the ball that's almost like kicking a cinder block.
And the Chiefs, by the way, down to their third kicker right now with issues to injuries here for, obviously, Harrison Butker. Then you get the backup comes in. He gets hurt. So you're down to your third kicker. Again, about 50 degrees is what we're seeing now. But we'll see if that changes as the week goes. But again, Chiefs 3.5 and that total sitting at 43. And that is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week presented by Lowe's. Okay, Michael, when we come back, we've got a lot of people knocking on your door because they're going to be stepping into your office. We're going to start off in college football when we come back after what we saw between Ohio State and Michigan, and then there will be a parade of people at your door. That is next. We're going to step into Michael's office here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross here with you. Going to go down to Beau Rivage in the next segment to catch up with Carl Johnson, see how the books made out on this wild weekend of not only the NFL, but college football. But it might be the most highly anticipated segment we do on Mondays. And that's when everybody's going to step into Michael's office because we have a lot of conversations that need to be had. And that is, of course, brought to us by Morgan & Morgan, because beating your rival can be hard. Being an NFL kicker can be very hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide. More than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is so easy that if you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more info, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law#529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or #law#529 from your cell phone. This is a paid advertisement.
Appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk when you're step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Oh, boy. I don't know if you want to be stepping into Michael's office on a Monday if you are one Ryan Day. Now, Ohio State was 19.5-point favorites, Michael, over Michigan. This is a down Michigan post-national championship year. You got to beat Michigan this year. You didn't beat Michigan this year. Michael Lombardi, Ryan Day is at your door. What do you have to say?
Ryan, what are you doing? Like, seriously, what are you doing? Forget the game. Forget the game, okay? Your job is to lead young men. Your job is to mentor young men. Your job is to make a difference in young men's lives. Your job is to win a national championship. Yeah, I know you were in shock. I saw it on your face. But when those kids were going out there and going crazy on that field and you stood on that sideline asking what happened, that's a fireable offense. Losing to Michigan, Look, that happens. You can't beat Michigan. Obviously, you haven't been able to figure out why you can't beat Michigan because they're tougher than you are. We've been saying that for 3 years. But the reality of it is I think, to me, the more fireable offense that people should be all over your butt for is you did nothing. You stood there and watched. You did nothing. You're a leader of the team. You're supposed to be a commander-in-chief. You're supposed to go out there and handle it, not ask some assistant coach what happened. I mean, you're like the guy in stripes that looks out in his binoculars and says, are those my men? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, that's one of the worst performances I've ever seen, coming off one of the worst games. And then here's the reality that no one wants to talk about with you, is you picked the wrong quarterback. You let McLeod go and picked Will Howard. Who has the better quarterback? Like, that's what you should be getting crap about. You should be getting crap about your leadership and your personnel skills. Like, that was embarrassing. McCorder went over there at Syracuse, Dave. Hats off to you. Tim Murray was behind you and really played well. Meanwhile, Will Howard's not a good enough player. You're not going to win a national championship with Will Howard at quarterback unless everything goes perfectly well. But you're going to play better teams and it's not going to go perfectly well. So for me, I'm disappointed, Ryan, in your inability to show leadership at a time when leadership was needed. It was an absence of leadership. And you deserve the blame.
Well said. I'll tell you this, Michael. I'm glad to know that Tim was on the orange this week. We cashed those win total overs and the adjusted win totals over for Syracuse beating Miami. Boy, Justin Tucker, I don't know if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame kicker, but he did something yesterday he's never done before. He missed three kicks in one game, two field goals and an extra point. It hasn't gone well all year, not just in this game. Michael, Mr. Tucker, we'll see you now, sir.
You know, this is the hardest conversation you can ever have with any pro athlete, is at some point you get into slumps. At some point we have the yips, you know, and like the guy on the Allstate commercial, I'm not sure, did he come and visit you because you've got the yips? I mean, that's the reality of it. It's in your head now and it's affecting the team. And so we have to do something as a football team. Remember, no one's bigger than the team. Not me, not you, not the owner. No one's bigger than the team. And when you start to affect our ability to win games, then that's going to be a problem. We're going to keep you on the roster. That's not a question. We want you to come back next year and compete for your job, because we owe it to you some debt of gratitude for what you've been able to accomplish here as a Baltimore Raven. But the reality of it is we don't have enough confidence that you're going to go out and make a kick, nor do you have enough confidence. And it used to be that we would determine the strength of your kicks by how far outside the center did you miss, because the question of missing never came up. The question of how you were going to perform never came up. And now it is, and now we have to address it.
Who's by five yesterday? He misses two field goals and an extra point. Do that math. Boy, the Bears did something again, Michael, they've never done in their over 100-year history. They fired a coach in midseason, Black Friday, for Matt Eberflus after that just shocking end of game in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Kevin Warren's a guy that's got to make those decisions as the president and the CEO. Michael, Kevin Warren, we'll see you now. What do you have to say?
Well, Kevin, I think the hardest thing in pro sports is figuring out why you win and why you lose. And that's your job as the president of the team. You can pretend that Ryan Poles is going to be the GM, but you know you're intimately involved. So show leadership and don't hide behind Poles and come out there and basically know that you're going to be instrumental in this hiring. No one's getting that job unless you approve of it. But because of that, you got to figure out what do you need as a coach? What does your locker room need? What does your team need? And only you can determine that. Because if you think hiring a scheme is going to fix your problems, you're completely wrong. If you think by hiring one guy to help this situation and then keeping Poles as the team builder, you're wrong. Because obviously you have a devoid of talent on your team. This wasn't all on Eberflus, right? He had a partner in crime. His name was Ryan Poles. He's sitting in the office down the hall. You're going to include him in the next decision, and you're going to have to make that decision. And so I think what you need is somebody who can come in and give you an infrastructure, somebody who can come in and give you an opportunity to rebuild this team the right way. And if you want to get the best coach, you better make sure you consider that your general manager is really good at what he's doing, because I'm not sure he is.
Hard knocks in the summer, now hard knocks during the year, and that's the end for Matt Eberflus. We'll find out what Kevin Warren does next. Kirk Cousins did not have a good Sunday. Four picks in the loss against the Chargers. They've now lost three games, the ATL. And even Kirk himself alluded to it, Michael, as something you talked about with Justin Tucker. You know, it's no sense of entitlement. You got to earn your spot. What do you have to say to Kirk as he comes into your office?
Well, I think, Kirk, one thing you got paid $100 million fully guaranteed to do is to not lose games, right? We know this. And you lost the game for your team. Now, I don't know how that all kinds of manifests itself through, but it's pretty clear that your inability to play well cost us the game. And you've got to put it behind you, and you've got to show that you can bounce back from this, and you've got to show that you have the ability to lead. And I also think you got to show that, you know, this is really about how do I help the team win, not how do I look like I got the most yards. And it's up to you to do it. And then you're coming off the finest defensive game of the season for the Atlanta Falcons, and you still lost. So you've got to figure out a way to get that locker room to believe in you again and get them to come back and bounce back for you. So I think it's a tough row to hoe, but I think you got to do it. And you're going to have to show the ability to make plays in the clutch to win the game.
Aaron Rodgers, as we talked about with Rich Gannon, hour number one, whenever he had a 2-touchdown lead at home, never lost, undefeated in his career in Green Bay, and certainly in his young career when he hadn't played a whole lot with the Jets. That happened yesterday against Seattle, Michael. They're now 3-9. Rodgers says he's still undecided about next season. Aaron Rodgers will see you now. Michael, what's the advice for the future Hall of Famer?
Well, I know this, Aaron. You may not decide, but Father Time decides for us all. The one thing we know, and we have to stop believing that playing into our 40s is something common because the great Tom Brady did it. Look, you have had a Hall of Fame career. Unfortunately, you only won one Super Bowl. For your talent level, you should have won 5, 6, 7. But that didn't happen. And now it's at the point where you've had two really bad years plus an injury in between. And no one's watching the tape in fear for you. You've had opportunities to lead your team back this year on game-winning drives, something that you used to be your moniker, and you haven't been able to do it. So I think that we have to have this conversation. You know, you want me to call CBS? Do you want me to call NBC? Do you want me to call ESPN? Because I think it's transition time in your career. I think this is over. And it's not because I want it to be over. It's because Father Time has decided it's over, and you can't beat Father Time. There's no way.
All the ayahuasca in the world is not going to be able to keep that career going for Aaron Rodgers. 3-9. Yes, the Jets 3-9, Michael. I did not think that was possible if you told me that this summer through 12 weeks of the NFL season. Michael, when we come back, we're going to go and catch up with our guy, Carl Johnson, figure out how the books did. But yesterday, again, all these games in the NFL, Michael, so many one-score games and so many small numbers, like Indianapolis 2.5-2 at New England, it lands 1. Minnesota 3.5 lands 1. A lot of really close games. We'll find out how the books did, not just in the NFL, but also college football. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line here on Visa.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is the Lombardi Line here on a Monday. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. And Michael, we always like to catch up with our guy, Carl Johnson. Going
yes,
down
sir.
To Beau Rivage on this Monday. You can follow Carl as I do on X at Jick Jack Johnson. And joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Carl, hopefully you had a wonderful Thanksgiving down south this weekend. How did you guys make out in college before we get to the NFL? Because rivalry week was insane, not just with the Michigan outright win against Ohio State, but we had fights. We had a whole bunch of stuff. It was a smorgasbord all weekend. How did you guys make out in the college action?
Yeah, we got absolutely destroyed. look, we had it was a great Thanksgiving. We had great crowds, really a whole lot of excited people. But, you know, look, we have had, this has been one of the strangest college football seasons that I can remember. I mean, it just is. And then, you know, when you see stuff like with the flags that we seen the other day, I mean, it just makes you scratch your head. But, we had one good, really good outcome for us for the day. And that was the Georgia Tech game. And boy, was there was a lot of coaching going on, with that Georgia Tech game. That was fun to watch. South Carolina was bad for us. Baylor was bad for us. Florida, beating Florida State 31-11 was bad. To cap it off, Texas, beating Texas A&M was bad for us. So it was a tough day. A lot of happy customers. They'll be back for the holidays. So we'll see what goes on there, but that's just the way it is.
What's the early action on the game that probably matters most to your shop in the Southeast Conference, the Georgia Texas game?
Yeah, so we opened yesterday at 2.5, 48.5, and they immediately bet Texas to 3. So, which is, to me personally, I was a little bit surprised at that. In looking at the stuff, Texas don't have any wins against any of the current 25 ranked teams in America. Wasn't quite sure about why they would jump on that, but we've had a little sharp money hit Texas early.
Carl, I'm stunned to see that Clemson opens up a favorite, and not only is that flipped, but now I'm seeing SMU 2.5s up in the Tigers. Yeah. I know they kind of backdoored their way in with that South Carolina loss, but then Syracuse beats Miami, and that puts Clemson into this ACC title game. Are you surprised? Do you expect to get some Clemson money now on the buyback now that they're getting 2.5?
Yeah. I think we're going to need SMU before this is all said and done. Look, they're another team that hadn't beat the top 25 this year. They're going to bet us Clemson here. We opened at 2.5. We're still at 2.5 and 55.5. So yeah, this is crazy stuff we're seeing, man.
How about the Big Ten? We got Penn State, which I don't think Penn State thought they were going to go here. I live in Penn State country here, and I don't think anybody expected that they were going to go. I think clearly everybody thought Ohio State would play Oregon in this game, but now here we are, right? And we got Penn State going. What's your action on this one? This could be a great one. I mean, Oregon's undefeated. They played really well. It's going to be unfair for Oregon. They're the only team that is now they have to play in the conference championship game. If they don't win, they won't get the bye.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't understand about, this. Look, I'm glad they expanded. It's good for us. It's I think the people enjoy it. But, we opened at 3.5 and 49.5, and that's where we're at right now. And you're right, this is going to be a great game. But, the weird thing is, and I was listening to Coach Saban the other day, and I think he summed this up the best that it could possibly be summed up. I don't think you're ever going to get the best 12 college football teams. You just can't. If you was operating in an NFL type of scenario where I think Saban mentioned if we could get it down to 40 teams and they all play each other, then you could kind of get a sense of who's better than who. I mean, you can't tell me that the number one team in the Mountain West or Conference USA, where would they rank in like the Big Ten or the SEC? I mean, it's going to come down to a popular vote, maybe who deserves it based on their season. But I don't think you ever get to the best 12 college teams here.
Yeah, we're getting Lane Kiffin now. He's lobbying on X. I mean, it's amazing where we are to try to get into this dance here for the national championship. And look, Carl, I'm all for, it's going to be fun. We're going to love to bet it. We're going to love to watch it. But I don't know that gets us closer to getting the national champion. We never had that debate for the last year or last decade, rather. We got the best team in the old system. I didn't think it was necessary to do this. But again, the interest will be off the charts. I can't wait to watch it. I just don't know if it was actually necessary.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm glad it went I'm glad it went to 12. The same arguments that we've been having with the bubble team at 5 and 6. Now it's going to even be magnified. Now you're looking at bubble teams like Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina at 13, 14, 15. I mean, look at their arguments. I mean, they're look at the competition they're playing every week. So the argument is valid. it's just, I don't know how we solved the thing, really.
Yeah, that's where we are in college football. Again, in college basketball, we do the same thing. They argue 68-69. It doesn't matter how far you go, there was always going to be some debate at the end of that bubble. Let's get to the NFL, because Michael and I have been talking about it all day, and we, of course, got a Monday night game tonight with the Browns getting 6 in Denver. How are the outcomes for you? Because it felt like every game, I don't know if they were good games, Carl, but it felt like they all came down, like the Minnesota game, the Indianapolis game, the Charger game, everything comes down to that final possession. How did you guys make out on an NFL Sunday?
It really does, Dave. Sunday we had a much better day than we had Saturday, but the public still got there. We had a rough weekend here. You know, we had a good Thursday, Friday, but Saturday and Sunday was rough. But yesterday, yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's the thing about these NFL teams. You know, it often just comes down to one possession. I mean, what we seen Thursday with this this Bears-Lions game, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, you could almost put a kid in a mask, a Madden player kid, on the sideline, and I think you would have got a better result there for sure. And that's kind of crazy to say, but I honestly believe that. But the Cowboys, they were bad for us yesterday. Washington, I think they got out of their little mini slump. They were bad for us. Chicago was a good outcome Thursday for us. The Raiders, people still. They're still laying these double digits with Kansas City, and the Raiders were a good outcome with us. Seattle, and also maybe our best outcome of the day was the Rams. The Rams against the Saints, just because we're so heavily bet Saints all the time. But yeah, tough day for us.
How about the Falcons? How about all those people that bought Falcons Super Bowl tickets? Are they showing up to the book at all?
No. Look, they. We had a little small group and they wanted it up on the big screen, and we can't go there right now, but yeah, they're not going to be doing anything with those tickets there, Mikey.
Yeah. I'm surprised. So you did have a lot of Saints money, right? I know, look, they were up 6-0 at halftime and getting a couple points, I think plus $1.20 in the money line. Was there a belief that maybe that the Saints could still be in there? They're two games back now in the division. But yesterday felt like their last stand, and they didn't get it done.
Yeah. Yesterday, what we seen basically was the I don't know if I can say, I'm too redneck to say this word, reverberation of what we've seen the past couple of weeks with the Saints. They've made a little comeback, so I think that's what we seen yesterday. The people just trying to ride that wave. They still going to pull for the Saints, whether they bet them or not down here. You're going to have a loud house.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But they're also going to have a house that's going to complain about Derek Ricky Fowler Carr too, because he can't make a play when it counts, Carl. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Who do you got tonight, Carl?
We're at 6-42.
All right. I think we just
son-in-law. Look, this is no lie.
All right. We're trying to get back to Carl there. Lost the connection, but 6-42 is what he's got down there at Beau Rivage, with the Browns getting the 6 points in Denver. By the way, hopefully no pick sixes from Bo Nix. You can play pick six with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Very easy to do. You pick six players. You can play for just $5, get 50 back in pick six credits. You download the DraftKings Pick Six app now. Use code VSIN. That is the code VSIN for new customers. Play $5, get 50 in pick six credits. That's on DraftKings Pick Six, and the crown can be yours. Thanks to Carl Johnson for joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. When we come back, Michael, we will get to our best bet, and that might include tonight's Monday night action between the Browns and the Broncos. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back here in the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you as we wrap up week 13 in the NFL. I just cannot believe we're already in December, and I cannot believe we're wrapping up. I mean, Michael, it just flies by. we talked about a lot on the show today. It just felt like there were really exciting games. I don't know how great the slate was overall. I felt like watching that Eagle-Raven game, those are two good football teams. Right? You can watch it, you could feel it. But I don't know that I got that sense with a lot of the games around the NFL. What is your bigger takeaway so far of what you've seen in Week 13?
Well, I think to me it's, the league is filled with too many bad teams. I think that's probably what you're really alluding to, is that these bad teams that aren't getting better as the year goes on, and the inconsistencies, and it's very challenging for people that love to play dogs. Mm. You know, we have Simon Hunter from the Action Network on our show all the time, and Simon loves a good dog. You know, he put his five games in this week and he wanted to put the Jets in. And, you know, of course, the Jets didn't show up, but there's really no consistency when you're watching some of these bad teams. You think Tennessee's improved on defense. They give up over 200 and some yards on the ground to the Washington Commanders. So it's really hard. I think the coaching isn't as good as it's been. It's one of the worst coaching years I've seen in a long time, whether it's game management or decision or how to play the game. But I think that's what it is. I thought the Carolina-Tampa game was better than the Baltimore-Philly game. Mm. The Baltimore-Philly game was playoff-oriented. It was low-scoring. Possessions were tough. It was challenging, you know, to move the football against both teams. I thought Baltimore walks away saying, we played good defense, we could have won. Baltimore walks away offensively saying, boy, we're going to have to figure something out, because if people are going to play us like this, it's going to be a problem. I thought Philly's front really made a difference in the game. So I enjoyed it. I think there were enough good games, but there's too many bad teams. And I think that's what stirs the weekend around.
Very quickly, and I know that the Lions are, they've been a cut above all year long. Are the Eagles, if they're not there, because I got to be honest with you, like, I didn't see this coming from the Eagles, 8 in a row. I want to say the maturity of Nick Sirianni, kind of, you see the difference Vic Fangio is making with that defense. Kind of Sirianni getting out of his own way a little bit, it feels like to me. What do you make of this Eagle team? Because I'm starting to buy in, Michael, that they really could be on par with Detroit.
Well, I think they are on par with Detroit. I think there's no question they are. And I think when you watch them play, that defensive front has stayed in shape. Remember, last year they got and they changed their entire performance staff there in Philadelphia. They fired everybody. They went new. They brought back their old team doctor, Peter DeLuca, to come in, and they've stayed healthy this year. They really have avoided injuries, and they're in shape. I mean, Jalen Carter's a man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I screamed about in the draft when the Raiders passed him up. I mean, you can't take a guy who's a projection like Tyree Wilson off a bad ankle, and you got Jalen Carter as the three technique. It's impossible to block the guy. It's impossible. And he's in tune. And then, you know, Milton Williams, and then we saw Sweat last night fill in for Graham. I thought the Graham injury would affect him, but against Baltimore, Baltimore's deficiency still is they can't drop back pass. But I think Philly's for real, Dave. Look, if you'd have told me they're going to win the game with Hurts throwing for 118 yards, I'd said you're crazy. But they did. They did. They were able to run the ball. They keep running it. And give them credit. I mean, they know who they are. They're not trying. And I thought the Kellen Moore disease of trying to throw it would take shape. But, you know, when you look at their team, they've been true to who they need to be, which is the most important thing in any sport, right? Who are we? And, you know, they're number one in rushing attempts. Number one in rushing attempts for a team that wanted to throw the ball. They're 32nd in passing attempts.
I'm looking at, I get it why Josh Allen is the MVP odds on favorite now. I do, but I watch Saquon too, and plus 350. Yeah. I mean, if we can get off the quarterback narrative all the time, Saquon has just completely changed the way Kellen Moore is calling his offense. He even said it after the game too, Michael. He said, you know, props to the coaching staff. They stuck with the run, and it showed itself in the fourth quarter with that big Barkley run, right? Normally they would have, Kellen Moore in his old days, he gets away from the run, but he didn't yesterday.
In the first quarter, he gets away from the run. But look, I think to me, you know, they won this game with 252 yards and they played a clean game. They haven't had a turnover in 3 weeks, right? They've only had three turnovers since the bye. So, you know, they're 8-0 since the bye and they've only had three turnovers in those eight games. So credit them there. But I think to me, you know, this MVP voting, we should just name it the best quarterback in the league because Barkley's the MVP of the league. There's no question. If you take Barkley off this team, you know, and that's hard to do when you say running back, right? You take Josh Allen off of Buffalo, they're not the same team. We get all that, right? That's the quarterback. But Barkley, everything about this team is about Barkley.
Yes.
Everything. You know, and they ran another week. This is I'm going to say now, all right, let's go through it. This is 5 weeks in a row, David, 5 weeks in a row that the Philadelphia Eagles have ran for more yards than they've thrown for.
Wow.
5 weeks in a row.
That screams MVP to me on a team that's won 8 in a row, 10 wins, all those things. We'll see what the voting says. But right now, it feels like a two-horse race. Allen minus $2, Saquon plus $250. Let's get to our best bets. They are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And we do have a Monday night game tonight in the Mile High City. You know, I know you were all over it all summer long. It's, you know, sometimes those bets you don't make. I wish I'd bet that Bronco win total over and kind of betting on Sean Payton, not necessarily knowing what Bo Nix would be. At this juncture, what is Bo Nix with Sean Payton? Is he just the product of Sean Payton? Or is Bo Nix really showing you that this kid is everything Sean Payton thought he'd be and more?
Well, I think every week he's improving, right? You know, he gets blown out and can't, you know, they play the game in Kansas City. They should have won that game.
Yes.
You know, when they missed the field goal there, they get blown out in Philly, but against Baltimore, but I thought he played a good game in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. They weren't a good team against Baltimore, but he was good. I mean, they've won, you know, they're 4-2 over the last six games. They lose to Kansas City and Baltimore, two formidable teams, and Kansas City they had a chance to beat. And those are the two road games. You know, this is a bye. They come back. This is a huge game for them because it's a bye after this. Then they play the Colts, a game they can win at home. They play the Chargers. They play the Bengals. And then they play the Chiefs in a game that I think is now going to be meaningful because of the way Buffalo's going. So I think Denver's a really good team. I think Bo Nix enhances their offense. They're finding ways to utilize his skill. When the play breaks down, David, I think Bo Nix is really good. Mm. He makes plays, and his accuracy through the course of the season has improved. And look, they've protected the football. 3 weeks now, he hasn't turned it over.
You know, Denver's minus $1.80 to make the playoffs here, Michael. I you know, normally I don't want to lay $1.80. That's not normally the style of bet I want to make. I feel like that's a good price, though. Like your six-point favorite, right? Your 6-point favorites tonight against Cleveland. You kind of went through the rest
your
of this
competition,
right?
Who's going to run them down? Lose it out to the Colts. I mean, the Colts could lose it any week, right? The Colts could lose it any week. And now they have a. I mean, they could lose at any point at any time during the year. I mean, so I would never really believe. I don't buy them. They have a bye this week. They won't lose this week. But the defense for the Colts. I mean, you can't trust them to make they. You know, they're no matter who they play, a good team or a bad team, the Colts are going to let the other quarterback get it because they play so much zone defense. They spot drop, they read the quarterback that they make every quarterback look good.
Elliot Bowman, our producer, yeah, I don't think he liked our.
He
comment.
Knows it's true.
He knows it's
he knows
true.
It. Yeah, he's accepted it. You know, and they're tolerating it in Indianapolis. They like Gus for some reason, and Gus is going to their season's going to go down in flames because. Of the style of defense. Look, it's the same thing in San Francisco. San Francisco's great defense when you have four great defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have that, we saw what happened last night.
Again, if the Broncos win tonight, 6-point favorites to do so, where's this number going to be to make the postseason? Well over $2, I would think tomorrow, this time tomorrow. So minus $1.80, not a bad look here if you like the Broncos to win tonight. The GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet. It delivers 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. So for more info, head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions do apply. Also, just a footnote here, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, today's the last day to get a really good special. It's our Black Friday special extending through today. So you better get it if you haven't. It's going to cover you all the way through May 1st for just $60. So yeah, if you can believe it, not just the college football playoff and the Super Bowl, but all the way through March Madness. So today is the last day to get this deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up for our Black Friday special and do so at VSIN.com/subscribe. Michael, again, we've got 13 weeks that are going to be put to bed after tonight with that Broncos game here. I'm just stunned that we're already here. Is there anything, very quickly, as we say goodbye in this edition of the show, as we get into December, do you feel like the playoffs are almost set? I know there might be some surprises out west in the NFC, but it does feel like we've got real demarcation lines here.
Yeah, I think the playoffs are set in this sense. It would surprise me if certain teams didn't get to the Super Bowl and the other teams just made the play. I think that's the line of demarcation. Could Baltimore go to the Super Bowl? Yes. Kansas City? Yes. Buffalo? Yes. Right? Could Houston? No. Could Detroit and Philly? Yes. Could Atlanta? No. Right? I think that's the line of demarcation. Now, you can make the playoffs,
yeah,
but who has a legitimate Super Bowl chance? I think that there's about six teams that could say that.
Great stuff as always, Michael. We got a numbers game with Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin, that's coming up next here on VSiN.